Welcome and thank you for joining us online this morning. And also thank you for the musicians that have led us in our time of worship. Really appreciate them using their gifts and their time, their talents, and God's service. Bless you. Well, can I pray? Father, I want to thank you for this opportunity. I thank you that your word is truth, and that truth brings life, brings freedom as we respond to it. And I thank you for that your word is also the thing that brings faith to our hearts. God, I pray even this morning as we come around your word, I know that your word will achieve that which you send it forth to, that it's living, it's active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, that even divides the soul and spirit, judging our thoughts and attitudes of our hearts. It pierces, Lord. Won't you do that this morning? Speak to us, change us, Lord. And may my words and the words and my thoughts be acceptable unto you, my Lord, my God, my rock, my Redeemer. I want to represent you well. I want to represent your word well. And I do ask for you, Holy Spirit, to help us. And even just pray for your presence to minister even this morning online in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, Jesus is our living hope, individually and in the world. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you. He's got me in his hands. And I don't know about you, but people say we're living in the end times. And I would agree. Yes, we are. And his disciples said, when will we know that the end will come? And he said, by these signs you'll know. Recorded in Matthew 24 and verse 4 to 14. Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming, I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. And you will hear wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nations will rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. And these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you'll be hated by all nations because of me. And that time many will turn from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. And because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. I don't know if you noticed, there was deception a few times, deceived and false prophets. Friends, there's so many things out there, conspiracy theories and this and that. And then another thing was faith and love will be tested. And we see that today. Love of most growing cold. When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith? And so what brings the end? It's not COVID. It's not the Antichrist. It's not the mark of the beast. It's not a vaccination. It's not world currency. It's not even one world order. It's the gospel of the kingdom to be preached to all ethnos. That's all people groups. And then the end will come. Put simply, reaching the unreached. And then the end will come. The world is our parish. What 7.8 billion people on the planet. 195 nations. 11,730 ethnic groups, people groups. And of those 7,077, which is 4.6 billion people unreached. That means simply they could be born, they could grow up, and they could die without ever hearing the gospel. And my friends, that's our mission. That's our mandate, to make disciples of all nations, to be a gateway to the nations. And so my question to us this morning is, what are we living for? What are the spiritual things that you hold dear and aspire to? And what will you say? These four things challenge me deeply to know God, not just about God, but to know God and to make him known. And then to come to a place of perfect peace and rest in God, and to be utterly reliant on God at all times for all things, to wrap up, to love God, to love people, and to make disciples of all nations to the ends of the earth. And I'm going to start with a few introductory thoughts on faith. And then we're going to include a 5 or so minute clip of Tyron Daniel, who leads New Covenant Ministries International. And he's going to share on faith. He's going to take it further. And a good place to start is Hebrews 11, the great chapter on faith. It defines faith. Now, faith, chapter 11, verse 1, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. As someone put it, faith is believing it's so when it's not so because God's going to make it so. It's both an affirmation and it's a fact that bids eternal truth be fact. So it's an affirmation and an act that bids eternal truth be fact. You must act faith as well as affirm it. And to me, it's like putting your whole weight on something, leaning on something. That's faith. Faith's like swimming. It's an invitation to venture out. But just like swimming, we can never be sure until we do so. And so just a few scriptural statements regarding faith. Verse 6 of Hebrews 11. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe he exists. And he rewards those who earnestly seek him. In 2 Corinthians 5, 7. We live by faith, not by sight. 1 Corinthians 16, 13. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Romans 1, 17. Great book to explore faith. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Chapter 10, verse 17 of Romans. So faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. And a personal favorite for me is Galatians 2:20. For I'm crucified with Christ. I no longer live. And the life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. Wow. I live by faith in the Son of God. So let's pick up and listen to Tyron as he shares on some incredible truths and even using some verbs to describe the nature of faith from Hebrews chapter 11.
Hebrews 11 verse 1. And I want to just highlight a few things out of this key text in Hebrews 11. But in verse 1 it says that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So can I again just highlight this reality of faith again? Faith is not bare belief. Faith is action. Faith does things. And that's why when I say it's a season to take ground and do, I feel like in God we need to do things, not just passively wait it out, but actually step up and walk in and do some stuff in this time and in this season. When you look at Hebrews 11, we see very quickly that faith is always more than just bare belief. Faith is active. Faith does things. Some verbs that illustrate the nature of activity in faith. Hebrews 11, let's just kind of highlight a few here. In Hebrews 11 verse 3, it says that by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. In other words, faith understands. And I think faith will open our understanding. And we need that, friends, in a time and a season like this. To understand, faith helps us understand what God's doing and what things are about. Faith offers, in verse 4, by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain. So true faith will lead us to make sacrifices, keep denying ourselves, and to walk out costly commitment. Another thing in verse 7 is faith builds. I love these verbs, builds. It's by Noah, by faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, it says, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. So faith builds. That's another verb of what faith does. And I believe what faith does is initiate projects that will be a means by of advancing God's purpose and blessing, not just to us, but to the whole world. Faith obeys. Verse 8, I love that truth again. Abraham, great illustration, the father of our faith. In verse 8, it says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. You see, faith will lead us to the venture into the unknown. And I think that's incredibly important. We don't have to know everything. We just need to respond and obey when God says things. It's taking the first step, as someone said, when you don't see the whole staircase. That's faith, obeying. Living a life of faith means not always knowing where you're being led, but trusting God in it and responding and obeying to what he says. And I keep saying we've got to be willing to embrace the uncertain if we want to see the unbelievable. So again, faith obeys. Another thing, a verb that faith does in verse 11, faith enables. I love this one. Verse 11, it says, by faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled. By faith, he was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful to who made the promise. So faith enables us to take the impossible, not even able to do it happen, but because of God, the promiser, the one who made the promise, enables us. Faith enables us. I feel like that's really strategic for us as a team right now. Faith longs. Verse 16, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Faith is a forward-looking grace. It will keep our mind fixed on heaven. I think that's important. Blessing. Faith blesses. Verse 20, it says, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. Because faith leaves a legacy, friends. It brings blessing to our children, to our next generation, and to all the people God places around us. And that's why we need to be a people of faith. Faith worships. Verse 21 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Jacob, when was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on top of his staff. I love this picture. Faith leads us to worship. Here's this man on his last leg, leaning on his staff. And what does he do? He's dying and he looks up to God and he worships. That's what faith does, even in all situations. And may that be our heart and our desire. You know, just again, faith gave Abel the confidence to give. Faith gave Enoch the confidence to change. Faith gave Noah the confidence to build. Faith gave Abraham the confidence to obey. And faith gave Moses the confidence to stay faithful. We need faith in our time and season. And wherever you read about faith in the New Testament, it always resulted in fruit. That's the evidence of faith.
Doesn't that stir and build your faith? Just listening to God's word and letting it wash over you and just something rising up in you. There's a book by Dale Mast, and David perceived that he was king. In that book, there's a phrase, it took faith for David to defeat Goliath, but taking the throne required identity. Think about that for a moment. Faith believes what God can do. Identity believes what God can do through you. Faith in God and a new identity, they go hand in hand. Who I am in Christ is a key to exercising faith. I am who God says I am. And friends, if you had to write 10 things about yourself, you know, God would probably correct you on each one of those. And if you look and remember back to John chapter 8, verse 32, and you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. It's more a truth encounter than a power encounter to see ourselves changed. And you see, when we come to Christ, we've got to see through new eyes in a new light. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Who am I in Christ? I'm a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. A new identity, a new significance, a new security, a new belonging, a new acceptance. Friends, that's the crux of our faith. And I know that the enemy is intent on stealing that. He wants you to feel insignificant. He wants you to feel insecure. He wants you to feel rejected, that you're not special, that you don't belong, that you don't fit in. And Max Lucado wrote a children's story. You are special. And friend, that carries a message regardless of your age. Every day in this story, there's small wooden people called Wemmix. They do the same things. They stick either gold stars or gray dots on one another. The pretty ones, those with smooth wood and fine paint, they always get stars. And the talented ones do too. However, others who can do little, who have chipped paint, get ugly gray dots like Punchinello. And then Eli, the woodcarver, who represents God, he helps Punchinello understand how special he is, no matter what the other Wemmix may think. It's a vital message of how the world evaluates you. And yet God cherishes each of you just as you are. So when it comes to significance, our adversary, the devil, who's a liar and a father of lies, would have you believe you're worthless, you're inadequate, you're helpless, hopeless, if we're honest, we've all felt like that at times. The truth in the Word of God is that I'm a temple of God where His Holy Spirit dwells. I'm God's workmanship, His masterpiece, created for good works. And I may approach God with freedom and confidence. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is the Word of God. When it comes to your security, the deceiver would have you believe you're guilty, unprotected, alone, abandoned. The truth is in Christ. I am free from any guilty charges against me from God. I cannot be separated from the love of God. And I'm sure that the good work God began in me, He'll be faithful to complete. And I'm kept safe with Christ in God as a child of God, and the evil one cannot touch me. Colossians chapter 3 speaks of putting on the new self, taking a new identity. The first three verses, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things above, that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. My thoughts need to line up with God, with His thoughts. Have you heard this say? They're so heavenly minded, they know earthly good. What a lie! Nothing could be further from the truth. Jesus said, I do nothing on my own authority, but speak as the Father taught me. Jesus, the ultimate Father pleaser. We've got to be heavenly minded to be earthly good. Seek the things above. Set your mind on things above. As it says, my life is hidden in Christ, in God, like my hand in this jar. If I had to picture this, it's like my life is hidden in Christ. Nothing and no one can access my life lest God permit it. Friends, that brings security. He's a shield, He's a fortress, He's a refuge, He's everything I need. And when it comes to acceptance, the enemy, the accuser would have me believe that I'm rejected, that I'm unloved, that I'm shamed. The truth is in Christ, I am a child of God. Jesus' chosen friend, a saint, a holy person. I'm a saved saint, not a miserable sinner. My root identity is, and this is so important, I'm a saint who sins rather than a sinner who's saved. Think about that for a moment. And the promise of 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because He is righteous, Jesus, He can declare me righteous through faith in His blood sacrifice for my sin. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. And that enables me to be justified, just as if I never sinned. Wayne Grudem, in Systematic Theology, he says the following, justification by faith is God's acceptance of me to be in right standing by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, being accounted to me a sinner. Justification is an immediate legal work of God in which He forgives our sins and counts Christ's righteousness as our own and declares us righteous in His sight. Thank you, Jesus. Christ had offered all for all time, a single sacrifice for sins. Hebrews 10:12 tells us. God was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world to Himself, not counting men's sins against them. And Bob Mumford, a wonderful Bible teacher, used a white handkerchief. I've just got a tissue here. And he used it to illustrate the imputed righteousness of Christ through His blood shed. He explained it this way. Imputation is the crediting of Christ's righteousness to my account. The imputation is twofold. We receive Christ's holiness and forgiveness, and Christ takes upon Himself our guilt and judgment. That's the work of the cross. That's the substitutionary atonement. And then impartation is Christ releasing within us His very life, so that moment by moment we may experience His presence, enabling us to make righteous choices. In summary, Christ's righteousness is a gift which can be described as a wedding garment, a white robe of righteousness. completely covering us in Christ and enabling us to spend a lifetime of communion with the Father. And the truth of Isaiah 61 verse 10, I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. It's a beautiful picture, that a white wedding garment, that same righteousness is imparted to us on a constant basis, enabling us as to display this fruit of the Spirit as we trust in Christ in our weakness, even in our struggles. That's the way of the cross. This is the work of the cross, and this is the way of the cross. Sanctification, putting on the new self, dying to the old self. I'm part of the unashamed, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. No record of wrongs held against me. The old is gone and the new has come. As 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image, his likeness, with ever-increasing glory, from one degree of glory to another, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. You may have heard the saying, take root and bear fruit. To bear fruit, we've got to take root. Only when we're rooted in him can we grow. And Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7 to 8 in the NLT. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made their Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep down into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. So if there's wealth, if there's health, there's uncertainty, our very foundation is where we're rooted, and that will get tested and that will get shaken. But if we're rooted in him, when we're rooted in his, in Christ, in his love and what he can do in and through you, your identity is grounded. You can identify and dismiss the lies that want to rob you of your identity. A.W. Tozer said, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. And we tend to a secret law of the soul to move toward our mental image of God. Let's not be guilty of lowering our theology to match our experience. And if our identity isn't rooted in God, it's rooted in something else or someone else. And I would say the next most important thing after what we think about God is this. What do we think about ourselves? And answering the question, who am I? What do we think about ourselves? As a closing thing, I want to look at the following. You are somebody deeply loved by God. You have never not been loved, because God is love and his love is unconditional. If he stopped loving, he'd stop being God. And you can do nothing to make God love you more, and you can do nothing to make God love you less. How much do you think you're worth? If you know the value of something, or if you want to know the value of something, see the price that somebody's willing to pay. And there's a song by Graham Kendrick, Paid on the Nail, that says it all. Won't you respond to the challenge contained in these questions as I land with the lyrics of this song? Is a rich man worth more than a poor man? A stranger worth more than a friend? Is a baby worth more than an old man? Your beginning worth more than your end? Is a president worth more than his assassin? Or does your value decrease with your crime? Like when Christ took the place of Barabbas, would you say he's wasting his time? Well, how much do you think you're worth? Will anyone stand up and say? Would you say that a man is worth nothing until someone is willing to pay? I suppose that you think you matter. Well, how much do you matter to whom? It's much easier at night with friends and bright lights than much later alone in your room. Do you think they'll miss one in a billion when you finish this old human race? Does it really make much of a difference when your friends have forgotten your face? If you heard that your life had been valued, that the price had been paid on the nail, would you ask what was traded, how much, who paid it, who was he and what was his name? And if you heard that his name was called Jesus, would you say that the price was too dear? Held to the cross, not by nails, but by love. It was you who broke his heart, not the spear. Would you say that you are worth what it cost him? You say no, but the price stays the same. If it doesn't make you cry, laugh it off. Pass it by. But just remember the day when you throw it away, that he paid what he thought you were worth. Well, how much do you think he's worth? Will anyone stand up and say, tell me, what are you willing to give him in return for the price that he paid? Friends, he died for you. Are you willing to live for him? Can we pray? Well, Lord, I want to thank you for willingly giving up your life. No man took your life from you, but you gave up your life. And I want to thank you this morning that that speaks volumes, that speaks identity, that speaks security, that speaks significance, that speaks acceptance, belonging. It speaks approval. It speaks affirmation. It speaks so many things to us. It speaks love above everything. And God, I pray that we may accept that new identity, that the old will be gone, our old way of thinking. God, change us. We don't want to stay the way we are. We want to see through new eyes in a new light. And I ask that you would do that by your Spirit in your precious name. Help us to line up with the truth. Help us to line up with the Word, your Word, and that faith would rise in our hearts as we are walking in the knowledge of your love. In Jesus' name, amen.